Hello, happy Monday. Welcome back to Volleyball from A to Z. Today we're talking about high school volleyball and how to prep for tryouts, how to talk to your coaches, how to talk to other girls trying out, and parents, what you can do to help support your athlete.
Hi, I'm Danielle Stepka. I was the Lakeville South varsity assistant for 6 years, and now I'm the Lakeville Juniors club director and have been for 8 years.
Yeah, thanks, Danielle, for chatting with us today. Danielle and I actually met at Lakeville South. I was the 10th grade coach, the 10A. At our school, we had five levels of teams, so we were really lucky since our school was so big. And then I helped with JV, I think. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And varsity, and I would assist with the varsity. So combined, we probably have, I would say, 15 years of high school experience together.
At least.
Which also comes with 15 years of tryouts, which can be stressful and fun. We always try to make them fun. But we can talk about, for parents and players out there, how to prep. So we're in the summer, it's prime time to get ready for high school volleyball. Danielle, what's some things that you always told your players that they should do to get ready for tryouts?
Well, definitely you wanna get in the gym, touching the ball as much as you can. If you can go to camps or do any private lessons, get in the sand, have some fun with your teammates. But then also make sure you're working out and strengthening your other muscles besides just your volleyball muscles in your brain, but getting your shoulder ready, getting your vertical up, working on your speed and agility, all that stuff plays into how you perform on the court.
Yeah, I always think that stuff is great. I know we always had high school volleyball camp. So if your school has a camp, that's always a great way to go. You see the other girls trying out. Most of the time, if there's any new coaching staff too, then you can meet them. We were always really heavily involved. It never mattered what court you were on, because we always did, I call that swimming. We always swam around to the different courts to see the freshmen or the seniors or even the girls that were already committed to college.
Yeah, camps are a great way to not only practice your skills, improve, hear from new different coaches, but to get to see your teammates and teammates from other either clubs or high schools, which is always fun and cool to get to compete with them in drills.
Yeah, here we have a fun kind of setup at MVBA called High School Prep. So our High School Prep camp, it's only 2 days long because most people have jobs or they have family vacations at that age, so we have to plan around that. But they train in the different positions, they train in the different skills. It's really, really popular with our freshmen. So our group of kids that are going into high school, or sometimes sophomores that maybe did cross country and then want to come back to volleyball. But you don't have to have a position. It's not super important to go in and say, I'm just an outside hitter and I'm only going to be an outside hitter.
Yeah, I think that that's huge. You can come in, and you should, with a position in mind, but be open-minded. And the more well-rounded player you are, the better you can help your team. But I've seen many opportunities for kids who probably would have been a fifth-string outside hitter, but came in as a back-end setter or even a middle hitter. That's a big position, at least in the Midwest, that tends to be open a lot. And it can be a great opportunity for a player who thought they were a different position and ended up finishing their career with 3 years of middle varsity when they probably wouldn't have made varsity until senior at a different position. So it can create opportunity for you. So definitely come in open-minded and be willing to help your team in any way that they need you.
Yeah, I always think, sometimes I forget about her, but she's still a contact in my phone. Do you remember Emily? And she came in, she was just this spark plug of energy and smiles and sometimes dramatic, and that's okay at that age too. But she wanted to come in and she was like, all set, I'll hit right side, I'll hit outside. One day she's like, maybe I can help in the middle. And we're like, we like it, but we might have you set instead. But she's just someone I remember that loved doing that stuff.
Yeah, she was a great great communicator, great leader, and was an all-around player her entire career. And her senior year, we had a D1 setter. She was awesome as a sophomore leading our team, and she broke her thumb in our first game and played with it in the second game before we realized it was broken. But our backup setter was Emily, and she stepped in, no hesitation. Luckily, she had a lot of really successful players surrounding her to help her through this, you know, new territory. Not only had she not actually set a varsity game, but to be setting, we had a D1 outside hitter that year, to that pressure of having to set her, she stepped up and carried us to a really successful season. Our setter was out for, I think, at least 8 weeks. So the majority of our season, she didn't come back to the playoffs. So it was huge for us. And it was, I think, a really great opportunity for her to face some adversity and grow as a player and a person.
Yeah, and that's definitely, like, as a coach of some of those younger kids, like those freshman teams or those JV teams, having that energy and that opportunity and that yes coach attitude, I think really helps you grow throughout those different years. And even like our staff was pretty lucky, we didn't have a lot of changeover. I know in our area, our Northern Virginia area, we have a lot of staff changeover, but they're still great coaches. So having those players with that yes coach, I'll do this, or yes coach, I'll do that, is a great attitude to have.
Yeah. That's something that coaches look for a ton during tryouts, is the communication, knowing what you're doing when you're on the court, being able to uplift your teammates around you and make them better players. And then to the way that you're interacting with your coaches, showing that you're coachable, showing you're listening, and showing you're trying to do what they're asking of you. And that can make or break what team you're on. If we're looking at two girls, deciding which one's going to go up on varsity or which one's going to be on JV, that can be a deal breaker.
Totally agree. Freshmen out there, one thing I want to tell you, whether you're a new freshman or rising freshman, ask questions. Ask questions about a drill. Ask questions to your teammates about running their off runs. Ask your setter what she likes to do in these different situations. Those freshmen that ask those questions and become kind of that sponge for knowledge are really going to make a difference in the coach's eye, in the teammate's eye. Volleyball's the definition of a team sport. So if you're asking those questions and creating that chemistry, you're going to stand out.
Definitely. If you're going into a drill that you've never done before, it's way better to ask questions or take a step back and watch a little bit before you enter the drill, because it's way more frustrating having players on the court not knowing what they're doing rather than answering a few more questions before we start the drill. So don't be afraid to ask questions. I know it can be a little intimidating, especially at the beginning of a tryout. Especially as a freshman, you might not know all the people around you. You certainly don't know your coach, I'm sure. But don't be afraid to ask. Just make sure you're asking at the appropriate times, which is in between conversations. Raise your hand. Be respectful. But yes, do not be afraid to ask questions.
Again, another story. I remember Lindsay, little Lindsay, she, great smile, always asked questions, maybe too many questions, but man, did that girl take in everything I said all the time. Like, she would ask a question about this and then it would never come back again. But because she was like really into it, talking to her teammates, talking to me, talking to other teams, like, she was the girl that would probably win Miss Congeniality in my opinion, in that time frame.
Yeah, it's fun to watch those kids grow, because you see them as a freshman and they're just this sponge, and they get to varsity and they don't ask as many questions, and they become this leader where they're helping answer the questions for the freshmen. And it's so fun to see. And that's one of the most gratifying parts about being a coach, is watching the girls grow through the 4 years. And Lindsay was an awesome kid.
There's another girl I always think about, too, Fiona. Little, oh my gosh, Fiona. And this is for, you know, those players out there who are new, completely new to the sport. She came in to tryouts and was underhand serving, but she'd make her serve. She would go in, she'd cheer. Sometimes she'd just, you know, serve receive and pass on one. But she was a great kid, a lot of energy, really athletic. So she made our ninth grade team. And then after that, she made the 10th grade team. And then she made JV. And then she made varsity. And now she's playing college volleyball. Like, it's that whole process of you can come in with no experience, but if you love it and if you want to keep going after it, there are ways to keep learning and keep growing.
Yeah, Fiona was so fun and such a fighter. I got to coach her one of her first years playing volleyball, and I knew watching her that she was going to be something awesome, no matter what she did. But I'm so glad she stuck out volleyball. And by the time she got to varsity, she had all the confidence in the world, and she didn't start as a starter, and she ended up fighting for a spot and was on the court at state when we got third place. I mean, it was so fun to see her grow. And she had this positivity and fight, and she was never going to settle for where she was. She always wanted to improve. She was always asking questions. Even as a senior on varsity, she was asking, what do I got to do to get on the court? What do I need to do to make my teammates better, to make myself better? And then, you know, she actually called me her freshman year when she was in college and was asking the same things. And so it was a great attribute that she has, and is something that I think is going to help make her successful in the long run.
Agreed. Totally agree. And parents out there, if you're listening, that's what we want to see in these athletes. We want to hear them asking the questions, and we want to know that they really care. We love getting to know you guys. We love getting to know you parents. But we really want to see either the whole family is involved, or we really want to see the player take that responsibility in their own career. We have a lot of advice to give. We can definitely help guide you through the high school process, or even guide you through the different teams to get there. But we need the player to really get that confidence, and that comes from your support out there, mom and dad.
Yeah, definitely. Athletics are a huge opportunity to help grow your student, to become a good person, a good teammate, a good leader. But you have to empower them to do that for themselves, and empower your player to talk to their coaches about how they're feeling, about what they need, about any questions that they have. Be there, be supportive, have their back, but empower them to take the lead in those conversations. Empower them to be confident in themselves and to be good teammates and to be good leaders. Empower them to work hard on and off the court. There's so many great opportunities, and it's so easy as a parent to want to protect and defend. It's your first reaction, and I am right there with you. But you have to take a step back and really, really take each situation as an opportunity to learn and grow for not only your player, but for you too.
I love it. I love it. So if we kind of want to backtrack a little bit. So before high school tryout, so whether freshman through senior year, parents and players going to camp, asking those questions. But if you really need some more guidance or some more understanding for navigating this world of high school volleyball, I know that always the high school volleyball's email or coach's email is always listed, so you can always email them. They love to hear from new families and new players. You can go and talk to even kind of your local volleyball community. So NVVA, if you're in Northern Virginia area, that's a great place to go. We're always willing to answer questions and to hear different types of things from parents and their perspectives. And even going to your previous coaches. So if you went to a camp, or if you were on a house league team, you can go to those people as resources to navigate or to even know what to expect or what kind of skills you have to work on before you get to that high school tryout.
Yes, social media has also been a huge resource, especially now. There have been a ton, USA Volleyball, a ton of different social media, mostly Instagram and Facebook, but they're posting different drills that you can do on your own at home, or there's colleges who are giving tips on how to get recruited. Just a ton of resources out there, so it's all at your fingertips.
And if you're looking for skills, so if you need some direction here, so physical ability before you get to high school, serve and serve receive is what you have to know, because serving starts the game for your team, but serve receive starts the game for the opposite team. So really having those two things kind of intact is going to up your chances of making a team.
Serving is huge, and the awesome thing about serving is it's all you. It's no one else has any effect on your serve. And it's something that you can practice anywhere, whether you have a ball or not, but the ball sometimes helps. But if you can have a good serve, there's a spot for you on the court. If you have an unstoppable serve, and the great thing and the cool thing about volleyball is there are so many different types of serves and things that you can do with the ball to manipulate it to try to beat your opponent. The depth on just the serve is so cool. So if you can really figure out what your serve is and how you can help your team be the best behind that end line, there's a spot for you.
Yeah, and serve receive. So thinking about those serves, like, you want to have a serve that you don't want to pass, but you have to try and pass it. So with serve receive, it really comes down to communication and focus. So once you get your platform out there, you have to focus on making contact where you want to make contact, right in that sweet spot, but you have to communicate with all the people around you. So another way to stand out, so you've got your serve down, you're getting it over and in, you're making really tough decisions. When you're communicating with the people around you in serve receive, you're going to stand out and you're going to be more successful as a team.
Yes, absolutely. That's such a huge part, especially if you're trying to wear that libero jersey. That's something that coaches look for 100% is that communication. And it starts in serve receive.
And it might not always be you touching the ball. So that communication can come from saying, hey, like, you're going to go get it. Or, Danielle, it's your pass. You get that ball.
Yeah. Yeah, before the serve even happens, identifying where on the court that you're going to cover, and then looking at the server, what are they doing? What are their tendencies? How can I know as much information before the serve even happens? Anything that's going through your head, you just got to say it out loud. Sometimes you can even be wrong, but if I'm saying the wrong thing and the person next to me hears it, they might be able to cover my butt a little bit more if they know what's going on in my head versus staying quiet for myself, and all of a sudden my range becomes so much smaller and now two people next to me have to cover for me. So the more you can communicate, right or wrong, good or bad, say it.
And a few ways that coaches are going to measure this. So once you get into tryouts, they're either going to have just a straight up skill session, so they're going to toss the ball, you're going to pass. Usually the typical measurement, I guess, would be a 3-pass is right to target. A 2-pass is maybe a step or two away from that. And a 1-pass is 3 or more. A 0 is a shank or an ace. So coaches are going to look at that. They're either going to do that, like I said, straight up, or in a game-like situation where also serving could be measured that way too.
Yeah. Everyone strives for the 3-pass, right? We want to be perfect every time, but it's not realistic. And coaches realize that. The majority of good players are passing low 2s, so below average. And so what's really important is, although you may feel beat by the serve and you know you're not going to get a good pass, if you can make a good playable ball out of that situation, more times than not, that's huge for a team. We can do something with that. We can get a good set off of a pass that's on the 10-foot line. But if you're getting shanked because you've given up on a ball, that's when it's tough to recover. So the biggest mindset that you can have is, one, I want to get a perfect pass, get my feet to the ball, and everything's perfect and easy. But we know majority of the time that's not the case. So if you can have that mindset that I'm going to get us a good pass and get us in a good situation where we can have a solid offense, you're going to find yourself on the court.
Yeah, and I would love to, let's do a little back and forth here. I'll kind of go with the younger players, and if you want to go with the varsity players. So if we were to go position by position, what are our baseline qualifications for if you're trying to make that freshman team or if you're trying to make that varsity team? So let's start with, so setters. So setters on the freshman team, I always call them the classics. If you can set the classics, you got your high outside, your high middle, and your high right side. Sometimes. If you can set right side, you might get pulled up if you can back set it. But otherwise, if you can run a basic offense and set a playable ball, that's a good position for that freshman team.
Yeah, and that's huge for those lower levels. And as you get higher and higher, the more you can develop your range of sets, so the faster offense that you can run to each of the pins. Are your sets getting all the way to the pin? Are they at a tempo that we can run a pretty quick offense? Do you have a number of sets with your middle hitter? So can you run a good tempo slide behind you? Can you run some quicker things in front of you? Not sure what you call them out east, but we call it like our A, B, and C, or 31, 32. If you can run those fast tempo offense, that's huge, but we're scratching the surface with that. We want to see a leader. We want to see someone who's communicating, who looks at their hitters after every single play and is making sure that they're on the same page, really controls the court. And someone who is willing to take a little bit more of the burden, it can be super tough, and yep. A lot of pressure gets put on the setter, but we're looking for someone who can handle that. The freshman level starts really basic, but we expect some quick growth out of high schoolers to get to a really strong place to be a senior setter or a varsity setter.
Yeah, for middles. So for us, we had a big emphasis on the setter in the middle working together. I know for me, I always ran my offense where if we could set the middle, we're gonna set the middle. But for my freshman team or my younger players, I needed my middles to close from side to side, and I needed them to try. So even if they were late, they had to try and close it, because I knew that was someone that was gonna work as hard as they could in that middle position, which is tough. Middle is a very tough position. The other thing that they did, wherever that ball was, they were trying to be an offensive threat. So if they had to go quick in the middle or if they had to do a slide behind, they had to have an option to hold that other middle. So it's a little bit more work, but it's because that position is so tough. So even on that freshman team, being able to close the block and being up to go hit.
Absolutely. And it's not much different for varsity. The tough thing is the game's that much faster. So we still want you to close the block. If you're not closing the block, you're still taking up a good space of the court with your hands. You're getting off the net and you're making yourself available no matter where the ball is, which takes some judgment. And so making sure that you're in a good position, communicating with your setter and getting up every single time, it's so important. And so communication is important as a middle, but the communication has to be so precise and sometimes accurate. So yeah, a lot of the exact same things as what we look at the freshman level, but the game is faster, so you've got to be faster.
And that moves into our outside. So our outside hitters at that freshman level, we just need to know that you have some ball control. So are you making good contact? Are you doing an approach? Can you set a block for your middle in the front row? So these are different things in the front row. Are you able to cover the short tip from that opposite? So your job's not over. Just if you hit and block, you still have to play defense in the front row. For us, I always I'm a big fan of the six rotation outside. I just like when they can play all the way around. So for us and for me, I always put my outside hitters playing middle back. So can you cover side to side, and can you help cover that donut area? So being aggressive on that defense. We're not always hitting in the back row at that time. So it's mostly just about passing and covering the deep corners on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. To have a six rotation outside hitter is huge. We really lean on that player to be a leader. We try to have at least one on our teams if we can. To have that leadership in all six positions, that kind of steadiness is huge and is super beneficial to a team. So if we can find, we kind of look at the outside as two different outside positions. One is that six rotation player. So if you have the leadership, the all-around ball control, the athleticism to play both front row and back row, that's huge. Setting the block for when you're front row so that your middles can get in a good position, you're taking away a good amount of the court, you're directing the ball back to the middle of the court, not getting used too much by the other hitters. Being able to play defense and then getting outside of the court and putting yourself in a good position. Outside hitters, just a part of the game, they're getting the majority of the sets because we're not always perfect and we can't always run the middle. So we look for kind of looking at those two different outside positions. One of your outsides has to be consistent and they have to keep the ball in play. And then hopefully you have another outside hitter who is smart, can keep a not so great ball, out of system ball in play. And then someone who can terminate when we need the ball to hit the ground. And to have a range where you can hit down the line, you can hit a cut, you can hit the six when you need to, and then to have shots, roll shots, tips. The bigger range, the more spots on the court that you can hit. I mean, when you're getting 80% of the sets, you can't hit the exact same spot every time. So for the other outside hitter who's probably only playing three rotations, we're probably putting a little bit more pressure on that hitter because they are only playing three rotations to be a little bit more of a terminator. So it can go both ways, but ideally if you're only playing three, you're coming in, you're getting blocks and you're getting kills. But you still have to play defense. But so really having a heavy hand and knowing when the opportunity is to take advantage of it. Huge skill when you get to the varsity level. When you see hands in front of you, the more you can use them, the better. I mean, it's such a huge advantage, and it's a hard skill for even some of the best varsity players to figure out. But if you can figure out how to use and abuse those hands, it's a huge advantage.
We've mentioned this before for the people that have listened earlier. So tooling, right? So if I'm a blocker and I've got both my hands up, if a hitter can use my hands and swipe the ball off, that's called a tool. So sometimes we watch volleyball, and I know parents don't think it's on purpose. Sometimes it's on purpose. So that's what that is, and it's a really high level move when you can do it on purpose.
Yeah, it can be a great tool to have in your back pocket. No pun intended.
So moving into our back row, so our DS liberos. So again, at that freshman level, our DS liberos, they can pass. So if they can pass, and referring back to that passing score, right? So if they can just pass twos the whole entire time, you're going to get that libero jersey. You're going after every ball. You're talking. You're excited to play. If you're in the DS position, you might have to play any position in that back row, right back, middle back, left back, and you're open to it. You're not letting a ball hit the ground, or you're at least giving an effort. So coaches want to see that you're going for that ball. So even if you don't get it, eventually you're going to start getting it.
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to coach some really awesome players who just give so much effort. And whether we're playing in a game or they're just peppering on the side, they give 110%. And watching that is so much fun. And that's the kind of mentality that we want out of our DSs and our liberos. So it's tough because serve receive is a very difficult skill to master. And so whether you're looking for a libero spot, whether you're looking for a DS spot or outside hitter, if you can really focus on your serve receive, that's going to give you a huge advantage. Defense is obviously very important too, but it's a little bit easier in the sense that depending upon what position you are, you have a little bit more time. Are your body in the right place on the ball? So number one focus would be serve receive. If you can master that, or if you can really contribute in a positive way to help your team, it seems like we're in serve receive less, so defense is more important, but you're gonna be able to contribute to your team so much more if you can really excel in serve receive. Not saying defense isn't important. Big thing we're looking for, getting your body in the right spot, getting stopped, and then being able to make a play on the ball no matter where it is. If you're playing left back or right back, you have to have a little bit faster reaction. Balls are coming off of the block's hands sometimes. Funny, sometimes there's not a block at all. gotten hit in the face a few times myself, I understand. But to be able to have those fast reactions, and we 100% do not expect the ball to go perfectly to the setter's hands. We're actually looking for it to go into the middle of the court. We call it the donut, right on the 10-foot line. So the more you can create opportunities for your team in defense, but I'm gonna say it 100 times, communication is so huge. We look for that as, we look at the libero as the leader out of the back row. Right, we look at our setter to be a leader, and we're looking at our libero to really run our defense, run our serve receive, run the backcourt. They have a different perspective. They're seeing the court in a different way than everybody else is. So we're looking to them to really communicate about what's going on the other side when it comes to defense, so that our team can get lined up and get the best opportunity for us to run our offense. So, and coverage. I know our hitters look so pretty up there when they're trying to hit the ball, but you can't just stand around and watch them. You got to get underneath them. You've got to be telling them what shots are open. You've got to have your hands out ready to take that reflection off the block. If you're putting in that work, you're communicating, you're getting to your right spot on defense, and you're getting in and covering and reminding everybody else to cover, like that's ideal. And it's hard, it's not easy, but the toughest thing is just remembering to do it. So if you can be the person reminding everybody, I always try to pinpoint someone, you're the cover captain, you're gonna be the one yep. that reminds everybody else to cover, because it's so easy to get stuck watching. And you don't wanna catch yourself watching, you wanna be in there, you are a part of every single play, no matter what position you're playing. And so, don't get caught watching. Remind everybody else. Communicate.
Definitely. And we'll talk about right side in 1 second, but that, like, every position is very important. So even if you're on that freshman team and maybe you are a middle that you're not getting a lot of sets, but you're closing every block, like, you might, volleyball is super interesting like that, where you might not be touching the ball all the time, but you are still a part of the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's no statistic to show how many times you close the block unless you go out of your way to watch for it. So it may seem ungratifying or you're not getting the attention that you deserve, but you're making everybody else's life so much easier when you're doing your job.
So right side, I saved right side because I know on some younger teams, sometimes some freshman teams, they might run a 4-2, or they just, you know, can't have the consistency to back set to really utilize that right side position. But if you are a team that is running that, a right side always has a really steady block, since the opposite hitter is going to be hitting a lot. They can usually cut the ball really sharp cross. I know that's not something that's always measured, but That's just what I've noticed after all of these years. It's a really good right side can just shoot that ball across the court. And they still are going to play defense. Like, if that setter dumps, they're going to go after it. If they're playing right back, they are usually a part of that free ball offense. They can pass a good ball. So that right side is really, it's hard to navigate when you're on a younger team, since it doesn't really have a lot of opportunity, but very important on the varsity level.
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of my favorite positions to watch and to coach, because there's a lot of great opportunities when we set the right side. Most teams practice defending their outside hitter the most because that's where the sets go. So it actually gives our right side more opportunity because people are less comfortable in their right side defense. So we love having a really aggressive right side hitter, someone who's aggressive at the net, both blocking cover or anytime that there's a tight ball, helping step in with the middle, just really aggressive, big presence at the net is super important as a right side. And as an offensive threat, someone who's consistent, but we look to them to terminate a lot more, to be able to find a spot on the court, because there typically is more opportunity for them to score. So one thing that's difficult if you're a right-handed hitter on the right side, it's hard to be patient and let the ball get to your hitting hand. So it's one thing that we look for is at a young age is, are you patient? Are you letting the ball pass over your body? So you have a full range of the entire court when you make contact with that ball. Can you hit down the line? Can you hit that hard cross shot that Amy's talking about? And then of course, tips and rolls seem to work awesome from the right side. So if you've got that in your back pocket, that's huge. So yeah, we're looking for someone who's really aggressive offensively, someone who can take care of their spot when it comes to defense. And yeah, just that big presence. It's such a cool position. If you're left-handed, sometimes some cool opportunities for you, you just have a different perspective.
Yeah, so every position really brings its own pizzazz and its own skill set, and it's really up to you whether you kind of want to do a little bit of everything or be like maybe an expert outside hitter but have the ability to play right side, but really kind of keeping yourself open to those different spots and different places that you can really fit in given your natural skill set, or maybe you just, you know, like Emily, you need to play that setter position because that's what your team needs.
Yeah. There are times in volleyball where all the position goes out the door. I have to put my hands on this ball. And I've coached those players where you cringe every time they put their hands up because you know they don't know how to set and it's just going to end up being a double. And you don't want to be that player. You want to be an all-around skilled person where whether I have to put my platform on the ball, my hands on the ball, or if I have to hit, I can do that no matter what position I am.
All right, now it's time to talk about that thing that's really scary to talk about. I for one have never had a problem with it, maybe for a small point in my career, but playing time. So playing time when it comes to volleyball, again, volleyball being this very unique sport, it's not on a timer. You know, you have to rotate, there's different positions. It really plays a big role in that playing time, and different coaches and different schools and different programs all have different emphasis or value on that playing time. So Danielle, let's talk about varsity for a little bit. How did you guys kind of decide, you know, the playing time factor or, you know, the positions and different things like that?
Yeah, so in varsity, it's all about your position, and it's tough, especially if you don't have the background in volleyball. Depending upon if you're a six rotation player or a three rotation player, or if you're just a specialist who only goes in just to serve and then comes right back out, your playing time is dependent on the position that you're playing. If you're a setter and you're running a 5-1, you're in all the time and you don't come out. If you're a setter and you have another setter who you're running a 6-2 with, you split time. So you're only playing three rotations in the backcourt. And even those two people who both play three rotations aren't going to see the court the same length of time, depending upon how your serving and your serve receive go when you're in the court. You could be on the court for 20 minutes, and then the next setter could be on for 5. So it's not something that you can easily measure. So it's really easy for players and parents to get frustrated because it's hard to wrap your head around. It's not something that you can easily measure. So just because someone is a DS versus a libero, so they're only playing backcourt 3 rotations, they're not any less valued. They may go in all 3 rotations and not touch the ball because the ball doesn't come near them. Volleyball is just one of those weird sports. But everybody's so important that if that DS wasn't on the court, there would be a huge gaping hole that the other team can take advantage of. So it's weird and it's super hard, and I understand it can be confusing and frustrating. It's, again, as a parent, it can be really easy to be defensive, and but we always ask our players and our parents to take 24 hours to just cool off and reflect a little bit, and then come talk to us, because we want to help make sure that you're not feeling frustrated when you're watching the game or when you're playing the game, and that we're all on the same page fighting for the same thing, right? We're in this together, we're trying to win, we're trying to make better players and better people. So the more that we can help each other understand and communicate about how we're feeling and what we're seeing, the better. But it's the place to have that conversation isn't right after a game. So we ask you to take a step back and then send an email, say, hey, I want to talk before practice or after practice tomorrow. And then we can have a normal conversation about it and try to help clarify things. But yeah, it's, I know it's not the best answer, but volleyball's hard. And your hitter may never get set because we never get a pass. Mm-hmm. Or if your setter is keeps getting outer system balls and they're struggling to set their middle, sometimes that middle could go through all 3 rotations in the front row and not get set. It's never intentional for the most part. And it's, as a coach, we try to see that and try to help find opportunities where we can get that player the ball. But it's not like a malicious thing, like they're a bad hitter, we can't set them. It's volleyball creates these opportunities or takes away opportunities, depending upon how the situation is playing out. So it's a really unique game. It's a really cool game when you think about it and you can really break it down. But yeah, it can be frustrating and confusing. So the more you can communicate with your player and have your player communicating with their coaches, the better.
And there's definitely, like, I know there's a lot of just terrible stories about parents and, you know, the different moves that they make, and it doesn't all have to be bad. It really doesn't. Like I said before, the appropriate time is maybe not the day of the tournament or on the floor as the game had just ended. There's definitely, like, write your thoughts down. So go on your phone, you know, maybe on an email draft or even on your notes, like, just write down kind of how you're feeling or what your son or daughter had said about, you know, how they feel about their playing time. But really kind of do your homework and take those notes, because then when you do send that email or have that meeting, there's an agenda or there's a point of reference to kind of talk about these things that are happening versus how you feel emotionally, which, you know, as I'm not a parent, so sometimes I understand where they're all coming from. But yes, parents just want to defend their children, and that's why they're great parents. But we do just, as coaches, want to work with you and create these great people as well as athletes.
Yeah, parents, please, 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 you should never send an email or start a conversation out with, my kid doesn't know I'm talking to you, but. You need to use this as a growing opportunity for them. They are the ones having the feelings, going through this. You have to talk to them. Listen to them, hear them, be a parent. If that's all that they need, and once they've vented it out, they're good, awesome. If they feel, and if you feel like it needs to go further and we need to have a conversation with the coach, that's fine too. But then the player needs to say, it's okay for you to go talk to my coach. I don't feel comfortable at this point doing it myself, so can you, or can we be there together? It should never be a conversation where your kid doesn't know that you're going to the coach, mostly for your kid's sake. I've had many kids come feeling so embarrassed and feeling poorly and feeling like it's going to like a coach is going to feel a different way about them because their parent went over their head and went to go talk to the coach. So I just think that there's so many great opportunities for kids to learn, grow, experience those tough things, those tough feelings, those tough situations. And we both as coaches and as parents have to help guide them through this, but they have to be the one taking the steps themselves.
And I know that there are two roles on every team that makes playing time very, very tough. The first one is maybe that player that got that last roster spot. They definitely deserve to be on the team. They're going to have a role in the future. Like if you make your freshman team, you're probably going to make your sophomore team or JV team and eventually varsity. Or maybe you're a rising freshman or a rising sophomore that took that last roster spot on varsity, and you might not play all the time, maybe you get subbed in a few times, but you definitely deserve to be there and there's a plan for you.
As soon as you can, I hope your coaches have the conversations with you explaining what your role is. And the best thing you can do as a player is go and write that down. What is my role? What is my coach expecting out of me, and how can I help my team? If it's not a spot that's on the court frequently, that's okay. And it can be tough, and you're allowed to feel disappointed if you were trying to go for a different position, or if you were looking to get on a different team, you're allowed to feel disappointed. But then move on, reflect on what's my role, how can I help make our team better, how can I improve? And then I don't want you to settle though. So then make another list of the things that you can do to fight for the spot you did want, or to fight for more playing time, or to just improve. So next year, I am on that team that I wanted to make, or I am in the position that I wanted to be. So that can be hard to balance, right? How do I fulfill my role and help my team the best way that I can? But then how do I continue to push myself to grow and not settle for where I am at now? So that's something that needs constant reflection. You have to remind yourself where you're at, where you want to be regularly. You have to have conversations with your parents, with your coaches, to make sure that you're able to fulfill that role that you want or that you have and still work for what you want. It's not easy all the time. Sometimes it takes a real special person not to get frustrated, but the worst thing that you can do is be on the bench pouting or sad or even talking about your feelings during a game, because all of a sudden you're taking all of the attention off the team and the goal to win, and you're putting it on yourself. And so now as a leader or someone who is on the court or someone who's off the court next to you, I have to give my attention to you to try to make you feel better instead of putting it on the team and working towards our goal together. So it's super important that you're doing that reflection, not during a game or not during practice. You're having any conversations with your coach for a scheduled time outside of practice, not on a game day.
And it's definitely okay to have those feelings. Like, I can't emphasize it enough. It's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to feel disappointed. But that is why your coach is there to help you navigate this maybe sometimes for people, this new segment of athletics. And it is a tough position, but that's right. Communication. Can't stress it enough to open up and talk.
And I felt it myself, and I've had many of my players who are graduated, moved on now, who have reflected back on those times where it seems so tough in the moment, and it is, and have so many feelings, but that helped them grow to become the leader or to become the person that they are today. And so I know it seems so hard, especially parents, to watch your kids go through these difficult times sometimes, but I promise you parents help guide them, give them that, empower them to one, feel those feelings, but then how do we become better out of this? And, you know, I hate when that person who's frustrated and they immediately feel like they want to quit, because this is one of the best, the adversity that you can face during athletics is something that you need in order to truly become a great person in your career, to because you're going to face that adversity and worse as you grow older. And so they've got to figure out how to face it head on now. So I know it's not always easy, it's not always fun, but it's looking back now at past opportunities, watching kids grow, it's worth it. It's worth putting your head down and fighting through it.
It's definitely the player, the coach, and the parent. It's all an ally. We're all, you know, going for that goal to win, that goal to grow. Sometimes even at the lower levels, the goal just to learn and grow, the desire to play. But we're all, you know, wanting to do it together. So keeping that, you know, email chain or talking to your coach or having your coach talk to the players is super important. And I know because of different reasons, sometimes coaches are scared of parents and sometimes parents are scared of coaches and sometimes players are scared of both. And just recognizing that if you have those calm conversations with an agenda and talk about an end goal, that, you know, these playing time issues or maybe, you know, these strategy issues or just some things that come up within the game of volleyball, it's gonna get solved.
Yeah, as a coach, knowing my parents have my back and that they're supporting me and they're supporting their children, it makes your job so much easier as a coach. It makes it so much more fun, and it makes it when you don't have to worry about all those other underlying issues, when you know that you're all working together, you're just set up to have a successful season. You're going to have fun no matter what the score is, because you're working together and you're believing in each other. When you have to worry about all those other things, it's hard to focus on strategy. It's hard to make sure that you're giving each player the attention that they need when you yourself have so many other things in the back of your head you're worrying about. So yeah, that's that positive support that you can give each other is huge.
Which leads us into our toughest conversation we're gonna have. I know when I first started coaching high school volleyball, I had a really tough time. It was the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Even now, I think I would reference that. But sometimes your player might not make the team. And it's just something that happens. I know here in Northern Virginia, we have lots of options. We always had a coach that said, if you don't make the volleyball team, go out for cross country. And there's a story there where I think a girl became a national champion because of it. But here in Northern Virginia, we have the option for a rec league. So if your athlete really enjoys volleyball, they can continue playing recreationally. So they can practice twice a week and compete on the weekends in the fall. So it's not quite club volleyball, but even club volleyball is a great opportunity to play. It has nothing to do with high school. It's this whole separate entity where you can join a club, and that's where you can kind of feel that pride. You might not be playing for your school, but you're playing for a region.
Yeah, Amy, I'm so jealous, because if we had that, it's the worst as a coach to feel like you're taking away the opportunity for someone to play volleyball. Like, I love volleyball so much, and I want to help spread the knowledge and the love of volleyball. So to have to tell someone that there isn't a spot for them on the team is so hard. So I think that's such a great opportunity that even if you don't make your high school team, there are places that you can play if you love volleyball that much. If not, there are other sports. So do something if you can, you know. But yeah, cuts are hard, and depending upon how big or small your school is, there's just not always the resources to be able to provide a spot on a team for everyone. And if we had teams of 20, 25, how miserable would that be for everybody? It's tough, and it's something that no one wants to deal with. Coaches don't want to do it, parents don't want to see their kid get cut, and as a kid you certainly don't want to get cut, and you don't want to see your friend get cut. So parents, I'm telling you now, no matter what, it's a conversation you have to have. You have to talk to your kid about cuts, possibly before and for sure after, whether your kid makes a team or not. If your kid makes a team, you need to have a conversation with them reflecting on what that means, that they made a team, that they worked hard, they were focused, they did what they set out to do, whether it was a team they wanted or not, they made a team. And the fact that there are girls who didn't, and what that means for them. So they, you know, you want to feel some gratitude, some pride, but then also be sympathetic for those that did get cut. Because that person now has to come to school feeling like they're not a part of a team. Are their friends still going to like them because they're not on the volleyball team? Just so many uncertainties. So just because you're not on the same team on the volleyball court doesn't mean that you're still not teammates when it comes to school. Doesn't mean that you can't still be friends. Doesn't mean you shouldn't say hi to them in the hallway. So still have a conversation with your kid, even if they made the team, because cuts are tough and it affects everybody in a different way. And if your kid, if you can be supportive for your teammates who made a team, your teammates who made a team that wasn't the team they were hoping, or for your teammates who didn't make a team. So I think that's an important conversation to have. If you did get cut, parents, I know it's super easy. We go back into that defensive mode. We don't want to see anything bad happening to our kids. But again, it's a learning and a growing opportunity, and it's a tough conversation to have, especially when you watch your kid work so hard over the summer. So do some reflecting with them. You know, what did you do over the summer? What have you done throughout the past year? If you want to continue to play volleyball, where, what can we do now? And what do we need to do to make sure you make the team next year? Or reflect on other sports you may want to try. But it's a learning and a growing opportunity. It's tough, and it's something that's going to take some time to heal. But it will, if you have the right conversations and if you support and uplift them and empower them, it can be really beneficial, and can help make them a better person in the long run.
And sometimes being cut doesn't mean done, especially at those younger ages. So those 9th and 10th graders, you might get cut. But if you still love the game and you practice and you work and you prepare, it's possible for you to make the team next year.
Yeah, it's possible for you to make your team. It's possible to still make a club team. It's possible to still go play college. Your career doesn't have to be over. It's just up to you what you want to do and how hard you want to fight for it. It's hopefully just a little setback and will help you grow.
And it's also like referencing that cross-country lady, maybe this isn't your path, and that's okay. You gotta find what you like to do, and maybe that's being a super fan. Maybe you are a super fan of your team that year, or you do cross-country, or you know, you're a singer and you're like, oh, I'm gonna do a singing competition instead because I have the time. But you can really take that time to find the things that you really enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a handful of soccer players who, when they get to the high school level and they have to choose, they choose soccer, but they still love volleyball. So they will play in the off season, or they'll do rec stuff. I mean, volleyball is a lifetime sport. You can truly play for a long, long time. So if you love volleyball, don't get rid of your ball. Still play in the back. Still find the sand in the summer. Volleyball is a lifelong sport, so play it as much as you can.
And we love it. Well, thanks, Danielle. We had ending with those tough conversations. But it's things that, you know, they don't get talked about, and I think players need to know and parents need to know these different perspectives or strategies or, you know, just stories that they can reference to help through the tough times or even the good times. Like that's great. Like, if you make the team, you need to know that some other girls did not. So you do need to be grateful and, you know, really represent yourself in that role. And
yeah, no one wants to have those conversations or think about it, but it's something that, good or bad, no matter what your outcome was, I think it's something you need to reflect on. Show gratitude and kindness to each other.
I love it. All right, high school volleyball players and parents, it's summer. It's time for you to go prep for those tryouts. So we'll see you at camp. Thanks, Danielle, for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, good luck out there. I hope you have fun and make the teams you're hoping for, but yes, you gotta work for it and communicate.
All right, we'll see everyone next Monday.